Going on, guys. Welcome into the Pro Football Focus. Pro Football Focus Fantasy Podcast. This is the Fantasy Slant brought to you by DraftKings and powered by ProFootballFocus.com. I am your host, Mike Tagliere. Alongside of me, I have Kevin Cole. Kevin, you want to say hello?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, we are recording tonight. It is Wednesday, so we may not have some of the information that we typically do. Some things tomorrow. Kevin was able to accommodate me in getting those, getting it on tonight. So thank you for that, Kevin. We do have an entire slate of games to cover. We are coming up on the closing out of the bye weeks. I'm definitely looking forward to getting through with those so that we could look forward to, you know, filling out our lineups. Although we're missing quite a few players, as you know, Ben Roethlisberger being the biggest one, I think, that we're missing from last week. What do you think the implications are, you know, going forward with the Steelers? Are you thinking about selling somebody like Antonio Brown right now with, you know, Big Ben nicked up with the tough schedule they have coming up? Are you maybe debating selling high with the trade deadline coming up?
I don't think so, just because I'm not sure that you're going to get a great value for him. I know that he didn't do really well with Landry Jones in there before, but this is not Michael Vick. They're not turning back to Michael Vick where Antonio Brown was essentially disappeared. So I think he could provide okay value even with Roethlisberger out. And then it doesn't seem like Roethlisberger is going to be out a long time. I mean, you never know what with these two sorts of injuries, but I just don't think you're going to get enough value for him right now. You're not going to get that sort of king's ransom for him just because he has already shown that his performance dips when Ben's out. So I think people are going to want a discount for it, and it's probably not worth it.
I kind of agree. And then there's some people that are chasing the performance they got from last week. So maybe, you know, that's why to me, it was kind of like he looked like a sell high to me with the schedule he has upcoming and things like that. There's some news that came out today about Andrew Luck, or yesterday. Andrew Luck is going to be out. They first announced 2 to 6 weeks, and then the Colts are now saying realistically they think 4 weeks, and then Jay Glazer came out and said it's 6 weeks. So I'm looking at Andrew Luck as a 4 to 6 week injury. Is he droppable at this point?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's probably doing his owners a favor, quite honestly. I mean, I know that they had a great schedule coming up, so that's disappointing. But at least you don't have to agonize starting him every week and then seeing these lackluster performances.
Yeah, and the Luck part, I think he's droppable. But the other questions that I've gotten is about, like, Dante Moncrief. Is he droppable? And, you know, there's been questions. I've actually had the same question 4 times already. And it was, do I drop Dante Moncrief for Doriel Green Beckham? Now, me, I'm kind of like, yeah, I guess he's kind of like a lottery ticket. I'm okay with doing that. Would you agree with me there?
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that one. I mean, I know Green Beckham has performed well. I mean, Kendall Wright is going to come back eventually. So, and they just don't pass the ball a whole lot in that offense. I know Moncrief didn't perform well with Hassel back in there before. I don't think I would do that, but I could see why someone would want to.
Yeah, it's a weird question that kind of came up, and it made me pause for a second because I've been a big Moncrief fan. So, but getting into the games, you know, obviously the trade deadline's here, and if we have any players throughout, we might touch on. But the first game is the Thursday night game. This one also has some injuries surrounding it. Obviously, Brandon Marshall showed that, you know, he wasn't really affected too much by that ankle injury, although he did, you know, one catch basically made his fantasy day in the fourth quarter. But the Bills, they looked really good. I know you had talked about on Twitter that Sammy Watkins had seen it was 8 of the 12 passes thrown. 12 passes thrown in an NFL game. When was the last time it was that low?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably already been that low maybe this year. I'm not sure. There's been some ugly games with Mike Vick and some others out there. So, yeah, I mean, Sammy Watkins, this performance was kind of the epitome of unsustainable type performances. If you have anyone who's buying, then you may have a big second half. I think you have to sell him. I mean, I like Sammy Watkins. I think he's a decent talent, but that offense is just not going to provide the volume that he's going to need to give you consistent startable performances.
Yeah, and that's the worry with him. But then the good news is that it's ever since he started complaining about, you know, not getting enough targets, before he got hurt in that 1 week, I think he saw over 50% of the targets. And then this game, he's seen, you know, like it's 75%. So that's a lot of the targets. I do think that, like you said, the passing game, they're not going to throw the ball a whole ton. And LeSean McCoy, now he's banged up his shoulder, but they've listed him as probable. I think he's going to go. Now, I don't think it's a great matchup for him with the Jets. I'd rather him sit out and give it to Carlos Williams. But Carlos Williams, is he somebody that you could start as a flex option this week, even if McCoy does play?
I think you could in desperation. You just never know what's going to happen in these games. I mean, the Bills will run the ball a lot, even if they aren't necessarily winning. So there's probably a possibility for volume, even in a poor negative game script. But you're probably going to need a touchdown for it to pay off, and that certainly can happen, but it's not a guarantee. So he could be a low floor option, but he could pay off.
Yeah, he's scored in every single NFL game that he's played in, which is quite crazy. But I think it might end this week. If McCoy sits, I would play Carlos Williams as a flex option. But if McCoy plays, it's really going to be tough to rely on him for me, especially in a tough matchup against the Jets. But in that game, obviously, you have Chris Ivory, who you're going to play. You're going to keep rolling with Decker and Marshall, although I do think Decker has the better matchup of the two. But this kind of wraps up that game. Let's go on to the Jaguars and the Ravens. These are two teams that we thought would be completely different at this point. You know, Blake Bortles is a top 10 fantasy quarterback. He has two fantasy top 10 receivers in the Allens, Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, going up against, you know, the second worst pass defense in the league in terms of fantasy points allowed. Who do you think is going to have the bigger game of the Allens? I mean, I know Allen Hurns he's nicked up, right? I think there was something that came out that he's in a walking boot.
Yeah. I think I saw that. Although a lot of the time, you know, that's precautionary. So we'll have to end up to see what that means. I mean, you have to go with Allen Robinson right now. He's on a little bit higher tier. I've seen some things about how, you know, he destroyed Revis Island. I mean, let's slow down a little bit here, guys. I mean, he caught a lot of those passes when Revis wasn't on him, but he did show that even in a matchup where he's getting semi-shadow coverage, he's done well. I mean, there's nobody to be scared of anymore. I mean, Jimmy Smith retired in the offseason, didn't tell anybody. He's still running around out there and getting torched every game. So you shouldn't be worried about firing up Allen Robinson, I think.
Yeah, no, the one that I'm having trouble picking every week is like Blake Bortles. I know in DFS that you sit here and you want to play these guys. I don't know what about it. I just figured it would take some more time than it has with Blake Bortles, but he's proving me every week, seemingly, he's proving me wrong. So it's maybe a time that I just get on the board and I'm just like, you know what? The Allens are it. I have Allen Robinson as a top six receiving option this week. But on the other side of the ball, they're lacking receivers. Obviously, you know, Rashad Perriman, I think he retired as well. But Steve Smith out for the year. A lot of people are putting a lot of faith in Kamar Aiken. My take on him is that if you rely on him week in and week out, he's going to let you down. But is Chris Givens somebody that can like emerge out of that, you know, out of Baltimore? Cause they got to throw the ball to someone, right?
You know, I doubt it, but anything's possible. He seems to fit more of a deep threat sort of mold, which can work with Flacco. I mean, Flacco obviously had a good rapport and played well with Torrey Smith, who was mostly running those go routes. So I think it's okay. I mean, I'm not a huge Aiken fan. He hasn't really done anything to inspire confidence, but in a very limited window after Steve Smith went out, he was definitely the guy getting the targets and getting peppered with those high value targets also, you know, kind of more of a possession type receiver and stretching the field sometimes. So I think he's definitely the receiver to own.
Yeah, he is the receiver there that I think I have ranked the highest, but I don't feel comfortable with him. I don't know. As a wide receiver three this week, it's not a bad matchup for him against the Jaguars. I just hope that they start using Justin Forsett more in the passing game. It's kind of what we thought would happen in the offseason with Mark Trestman, but he just hasn't been getting the targets. I don't know if this is going to translate to him getting more or not. I guess we'll take it as a wait-and-see approach. But the next game, the Browns at the Steelers. Robert Turbin was released from the Browns, and now Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson seem to be, you know, the backs. I don't know why they signed Turbin. It was just to create confusion. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't get it. I know a lot of people were talking about Turbin being very talented and the fact that why'd Seattle cut him. I didn't see anything special with him. And I obviously the Browns didn't either, you know, seeing him in game action. But heading into Pittsburgh, are you feeling comfortable using somebody like Isaiah Crowell, you know, in your lineup?
I think you can use him, but I wouldn't. I think he's one of these kind of low ceiling options. He's not going to be a guy that's going to blow the doors off anywhere. I mean, last week I was very interested in Duke Johnson, and I was kind of down on Duke Johnson with Johnny Manziel in there. He got saved because he got a touchdown reception, but he really wasn't that involved. So, I mean, I actually own Duke Johnson in a few different places. I feel like he's the more exciting guy. He hasn't been great on the ground, but at least he can get involved in the passing game. He looks like a wide receiver out there sometimes when he's running routes and catching the ball. So I really hope that McCown's able to play for Duke Johnson's value. And for the overall fantasy value, I think, of the team, you really want McCown out there.
I agree. I hope McCown plays. We want to see Travis Benjamin not get four targets again. When Manziel plays, I know people are saying the upside was higher with Manziel. I don't agree with that. And I don't know what the Browns are doing. I saw Mike Pettine during the last week when they were talking about, you know, they want him to sit in the pocket more, Manziel. Like, he's doing fine on the run, but we want him to sit in the pocket more and feel comfortable. You're taking away everything the guy does well. I just don't think he's never going to be a pocket passer in the NFL. It's just not going to happen. But on the other side, D'Angelo Williams obviously blew up last week. We know that Antonio Brown, you're playing those guys. Although I am concerned a little bit about D'Angelo Williams' foot. They're saying he has some swelling in there.
Yeah.
That's a little worrisome when you got a 32-year-old running back that's seeing as many touches as he is. Mm-hmm. If you're coming up on the trade deadline, maybe trade him. I'm not saying that you give him away, but I don't know. I don't know if he's going to hold up, especially.
I saw somewhere where I want to say it was Adrian Peterson, but it was someone like that they were trading D'Angelo Williams for. So yeah, I mean, I could agree with doing something like that. The only reason I'm not too concerned about the foot injury. I mean, it's something that could re-injure. I'm not too concerned that he's going to actually miss time because of it, is that I don't think they've signed anybody. Like, I don't think that they should be bringing someone in immediately if they feel like he's going to miss this week, because I mean, they got nothing. I mean, they got Jordan Todman, who I actually kind of like. I don't know. Strangely, I remember back when he was on the Jaguars a couple of years ago, I got like one good start out of him. So maybe I'm just attached to him because of that. So they got Todman. And then would they assign somebody? I don't even know who they got over there.
They could re-sign Dree Archer.
Yeah, but he weighs like 120 pounds. So, you know, if they need someone to run kickoffs and get killed again, they can do that.
There you go. But yeah, no, obviously it's something we'll pay attention to as the week goes on. But D'Angelo Williams is a play. But, you know, Martavis Bryant seemed to do okay with Jarvis, with Landry at quarterback, Landry Jones. He seemed to be okay there. I mean, he's the type of guy that needs one play in a game to make a fantasy week. So I'm not as down on Martavis Bryant as I am on someone like Antonio Brown. So moving on to the Panthers, they're still undefeated, heading into Tennessee to play the Mike Mularkey-led Titans. Antonio Andrews got, you know, the work that they said he was going to get. He racked up over 100 yards. I think he's a sell right now. I mean, I know we're talking about a lot of running backs and sells and stuff like that. There's not very many running backs in the NFL that you could feel very good about, I guess, right now. But Andrews is someone, he's a plotter. He hasn't scored since week 5, and he's going up against a Carolina defense. Are you playing him this week?
I mean, if I don't have anyone else that I would play him, it could be a tough game for the Titans offense. Just overall, that Carolina defense looks pretty strong. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was struggling with them at least early, and then he kind of put some points on the board when they were down. I think Andrews, I mean, I think he's played well enough to play on volume, and you know, he didn't get a touchdown last week, right? So he's a guy that you probably need to plunge in for a touchdown to get value. My only concern with him one of my concerns with him going forward is David Cobb was activated off of IR. I don't know what they're going to do. I have a feeling Bishop Sankey might be inactive going forward. And then you got to worry about Cobb maybe getting some looks in there if Andrews struggles, because it's not like Andrews is, you know, going to be so impressive that they're not going to maybe give a look to the rookie at some point.
No, right. And that's a worry as well. Like, David Cobb, I'm not the hugest fan of him, but I'm also not the hugest fan of Antonio Andrews. I mean, they drafted Cobb for a reason, I suppose. So we'll see how it plays out. But Andrews is not someone that I'm excited to play. Dorial Green-Beckham, I did tell people to go out and buy him this week in my fantasy stock, stock market. I just feel like his snap count has gone up every single week. Mike Mularkey, once he took over, he said that he wanted to get him more looks in the offense, and it translated to 10 targets last week. Now, that being said, Josh Norman is waiting on the other end of the field this week, and he's not someone that you want to start wide receivers against. And Green Beckham will likely play on that side. I don't know if he's going to kind of be Justin Hunter. I mean, I just don't know how the Panthers, you know, view those two receivers. But if it's me as a head coach, Dorial Green-Beckham is starting out there opposite Justin Hunter. I'm going to put him on Green-Beckham. So, yeah. But that there's not really much going on in that game. We know who the obvious starters are and who the obvious sits are. So moving on to the Bears and the Rams, obviously Jeremy Langford, he looked good.
Yeah, he looked really good.
Yes, I've been telling.
I was getting worried there when they were starting carry. I was like, "You got to be kidding me!"
My phone blew up.
That runs like a 4.9 or something. He's awful.
Yes, no. Carey was drafted in the Trestman regime there, and I think he was a Trestman guy. I think Carey would have been more of a guy that you can use in the passing game like Trestman wanted to, but running the football, I was like, this is never going to last. I know some people that I had talked to were switching out Langford for Carey in their DFS lineups and things like that as it led up, and I was like, I wouldn't do that. You know,
Yeah. I mean, Carey had like a million yards at Arizona, right? But he's done. He's just not athletically capable of being in the NFL. Whereas someone like Langford, people didn't know if he was a good back or this or that. But then, you know, I think he ran like a 4.42 or something like that. So I mean, running back is one of those positions where you have to have a certain degree of athleticism to be successful in the NFL.
And he looked the part. Langford looked the part.
The catch was amazing.
Yes, the catch was. I didn't think he had the gloves like that. I really didn't think he'd come down with a catch like that. That's the part where I worried about him replacing Forte, because I've been telling all my Bears friends and family around here that I thought Langford is the starting running back next year for the Bears. So if you're in a keeper league that you lose the round they were drafted in or whatever, maybe trade for Langford. Maybe it's something that you can go after, and the other owner may not realize Langford could be a keeper for you next year, because I believe he's a starting running back. Matt Forte is going to be a free agent. I know Forte practiced on a limited basis today. I don't think he plays this week at St. Louis.
John Fox is an inveterate liar, so let's not believe. I mean, maybe that's a little strong. But when it comes to injuries, you know, he cannot be trusted at all. I wouldn't be surprised if Forte, you know, just like they just wheeled him out onto the field and then took him off, and he would mark him down for a limited.
No, it would. You know, I wouldn't be surprised either. And we're on the Bears, so I know we can't go anywhere without talking about Alshon Jeffrey. I'll give you your spot here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love the guy. I mean, I do. I was getting a little nervous because he was getting that shadow coverage from Verrett. And, you know, it's interesting. You could say that he dropped a couple of passes early. But, you know, when you have to work really hard, sometimes it's hard to catch the ball after you've had to, like, you know, get this gnat off of you. And so there was a pass that went through his hands in the end zone. Then he dropped another one. Then there was the pick six. And then luckily after that, Alshon just, you know, he took out two different DBs play by play. And he was so close to that touchdown, too. That was like almost Dez-like on that type of play where he's like, I'm just going to go over you and into the end zone, but he was a few inches short. So, but he has some tough matchups. I mean, he's going to play against, who is it, St. Louis this week? No.
The Rams. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Rams are tough. Rams are tough. I mean, but you don't necessarily think of a shutdown type of corner on the Rams, but they seem to play well overall. I mean, the thing I like about Alshon is, like, you saw it a few times on the last couple of drives. I mean, he basically just posts up. He just goes 6 yards downfield. Cutler would just throw the ball up in the air, and then he would just block out and just grab it like a rebound or something like that. So I think he can hopefully continue to do that.
Yeah, no, like every time I watch Alshon Jeffrey now, I think I'm like, man, Kevin's smiling right now. No, but Cutler himself has been playing really well. Like a lot of people, you know, are looking at the Bears team and it's like, well, what are they? And honestly, Cutler and that defense have surprised a lot of people, myself included. So I'm kind of curious to see what happens in St. Louis. I know they're huge underdogs in this game, and for a good reason.
Yeah.
I think all good things must come to an end. And in St. Louis against this defense, if they get, you know, all their starters back, because I know they were missing two or three starters on their defense last week. But there isn't too many players in the Rams that we have to talk about. So let's move on to the next one. Let's go on to the Cowboys at the Buccaneers. You know how much I love Mike Evans, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, you're going to hate me because I just wrote something today. I mean, not like pumping him up that much, but the guy's targets are insane. I mean, he's crazy how many targets he's getting. I mean, I know that you know, they were just bouncing off of his hands like it was like, you know, JPP's twin brother or something. But, you know, but he didn't drop that many passes last year. So sometimes these things come in bunches, drops come in bunches. So I think he can turn things around. I mean, he would add 250 yards last week if he could catch the ball.
Well, right. And that's the thing is, like, with me, it's been my knock on Evans. And like I said, I've been trying to find ways to like him because I want to. But I've said it continually. I said it before last week. I said that Mike Evans thinks he's better than he is. And that's a problem for a young receiver. Well, do you know what? Did you hear the quote that he said today? He came out in the media and they said, what do you think about your historically bad game last week? You know, where you had six drops, which was the most in over 10 years. And he said, well, yeah, well, my bad days are 150 yards. So what? That right. was his response. Like the guy makes me hate him. Like I don't know. Like I
hateable receivers though can put up numbers. I mean, there's been a lot of hateable with receivers through the year. Think about your Randy Mosses of the world, your Michael Irvins, other guys. I mean, inflated egos aren't necessarily a bad thing in the NFL. But I'll give you, he doesn't quite have the track record yet to back that up.
Yeah, he can't do that yet. He can't pull a T.O. and do that. Like he anybody getting, you know, 18 targets a game like he got last week should put up some numbers. Yeah. But on the other side of the field, Dez Bryant, maybe you'll show him how a real receiver does it this week. He looked better. He came back to the field. We talked about it last week, saying to use him after benching him against Seattle. He made a few splash plays. He looked pretty good. I'm loving him against the Bucs. But is there Cole Beasley? Please tell me that you're not buying this resurgence in his career.
I don't think you can buy one performance. I mean, the thing was, I think McFadden, they weren't using McFadden much in the passing game, so I don't know if it was game plan or whatever, but they seem to be using because Beasley has just been, you know, non-existent. So they seem like they were using him in more of that intermediate passing game. I don't know what they were doing defensively. All I know is, wasn't it the first two passing plays where Dez was just was going off, and I was thinking to myself, oh man, this is going to be a huge game. And then he basically did nothing the entire rest of the game. I mean, he got that jump ball where he just, you know, just jumped over a couple of like he was jumping over, you know, schoolyard or something like that and scored a touchdown. But I was pretty disappointed by the fact that they weren't just feeding it to him. He must have been getting coverage rotating over to him or something like that. And that's maybe what opened things up for Cole Beasley.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think that that's kind of true. And he didn't see as many targets as I would have liked to have seen either. But yeah. I mean, when Cole Beasley was getting it done, he was getting it done. It wasn't the offense's fault that they lost that game. But Dez Bryant this week
against did he throw another pick six though?
He did throw a pick six. He did.
That's like on the board. That's like they should just start. They should just get that out of the way, like the first play of the game.
So do we start? Do we stream the Bucs defense this week?
Maybe. I mean, the Bucs defense has been. Let's not kid ourselves. They're pretty awful, but they are at home. So I'm desperate in a few leagues where there's not a whole lot left. And where I had New Orleans last week as a streamer to go against Tennessee, you know, that was a bad move. Yeah. So now I made maybe even a worse move this week, and I picked up Tampa Bay. But I feel like maybe they can get a pick or two. Who knows?
Well, I'll be hoping for you. I can't start the Bucs, but under Lovie Smith's defense, they're not going to be doing anything with double coverage and Dez. Like, that's just not how Lovie operates. He plays for the he'll give you the smaller play. He doesn't want you to go over the top.
And they don't even got that too deep stuff. So you could see Jason Witten, you know, dad running up the seam all game long. We'll see.
You definitely can. You definitely can. So that pretty much covers up the Cowboys offense. The Bucs, you're starting Doug Martin. You're starting Mike Evans, regardless of, you know, like my whatever for him. You're starting him with the targets that he's seeing. I don't think Vincent Jackson is playing again. And if Austin Seferian Jenkins plays, he's an interesting one because Sean Lee is probably going to miss this game with the whole concussion history that he's had and the injury history and all that. I think he's probably going to miss. I think Seferian Jenkins could be one of those sneaky starts at the tight end position if you're looking for a streamer.
I totally agree. I mean, Evans is getting too many targets. Let's face it. He's not going to continue to get that crazy amount of targets. I mean, I talked about Seferian Jenkins in the PFF column last week, you know, hoping that he was going to be back last week. It didn't end up happening, but everything still applies. I mean, he's still another big target that Winston should utilize. So I think he's a great play if he's going to play.
Yeah, no, and yes. Now, last week, I know we talked about Pittsburgh and Oakland, that game. I thought that one was going to be really, really high scoring. I loved that game. There was a lot of players in it I loved. Okay, that game of this week would be the Packers and the Lions for me. I think that Green Bay is heading back home after two disappointing losses on the road and ones that Aaron Rodgers looked like crap. I mean, let's just be honest. I love the guy. I've said he will go down as the greatest of all time. In my opinion, if he stays healthy, he's looked bad. And at the end of that game, you saw him throw the iPad down or whatever it was, you know, the
surface.
Defense, yeah. The defense was it's in turmoil. They're fighting on the sidelines. Like, I just feel like this is a game where they go back home. They take out everything on a bad, bad Lions defense. Like, I think you fire up all Packers in this game. And I think you expect big results. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, that's not the most controversial statement, but it's definitely the right statement. Detroit's defense is maybe historically bad, especially from the perspective of where they were last year to this year. I mean, everyone's put – I mean, what's his name? Alex Smith put up like 35 fantasy points a couple weeks ago before they came off of bye against them. Teddy Bridgewater looked great against them. And these are guys that haven't really been doing much the rest of the season. So you have Aaron Rodgers at home. I think Rodgers and the entire Packers passing game is a bye right now. They've had a tough schedule. It's really interesting with Rodgers, though, because a lot of people said when Jordy went down that they didn't know what was going to happen. And then he came out guns blazing right at the beginning of the year. And everyone said, Jordy doesn't matter. Receivers don't matter. You know, I could be out there playing and Rodgers would throw four touchdowns. And then he's really struggling. And people are like, oh, well, maybe he needs Nelson. I think it's going to flip the script right back to what people were saying at the beginning of the season when he torches the Lions this week.
I agree. And I think it might lead to opportunities for the Lions offense, actually, for some garbage time production. That's where this week, Theo Riddick is a good start for me, especially in like a PPR league. I think he's a borderline like RB2 this week. Just in the fact that, you know, the Lions are going to be coming from behind. You know that they've been using Riddick in those situations. Like he's racked up so many points. I don't even know what he is in terms of PPR running back on the year, but he's up there in the top 20. I do know that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. My only concern, I mean, I don't think this is totally speculation, is the fact that, you know, they basically phased Abdullah out. I mean, maybe going through the bye, you know, their season is done. Maybe they'll say, hey, we need to get Abdullah in there some more. But that's just total speculation.
It is speculation. And that's the thing. That's the best thing about DFS is the fact that you don't have to worry about if you drafted Amir Abdullah in your season long league, you don't have to worry about DFS. Football's back, and it already feels like the playoffs thanks to 1 week fantasy at DraftKings.com. With millions being won each week, every play and every game could take you closer to a life-changing payday. This is not fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code PFF to play for free with your first deposit in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest. First place takes home $100,000. Enter PFF for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com. Kevin, how have you been doing in DFS as of late?
You know, I haven't been playing as much. I've just been too busy. And, you know, going forward, I'm in New York, so we'll see what happens going forward, I guess.
Yeah, it's been a little controversy this week and the whole New York thing. Supposedly, I heard something like, so DraftKings and FanDuel, they're going to continue to keep going on, right? Like they said that they're not going to stop
DraftKings. DraftKings said they would. DraftKings, I think they said they would. I'm not sure about FanDuel. You know what's interesting is I don't know if they named some of the other competitors. So it's a fluid situation.
It really is. We could talk about that for, you know, an hour on its own. We really could. But instead of harping on that, let's just look at, you know, what the games we have in front of us, the games that we can play. I'm not in New York, fortunately, so I don't have to worry too much about that. But Kevin, play before you can't anymore, okay? But the next game is the Dolphins, the reeling Dolphins that were, you know, looked like they were the next big thing. You know, once they did the coaching change, everything looks a little bit different now. Cameron Wake's gone. That defense looks like one of the worst in the NFL, honestly, one that you should target in fantasy matchups. And they're going to Philly this week. Is this a week where you would say, I think Sam Bradford's a good streaming option this one? I do. Like, what are your takes on it?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is a good streaming option. Just don't watch the game because it's just painful to watch Sam Bradford if you're starting him. Because, I mean, you get such great volume because of the speed of which they play with, that you'll just get ugly drive, ugly drive, ugly drive, and then, you know, maybe a touchdown. All the, like, all out of sudden, out of nowhere, he's putting up some stats. So I think he's a good start. Jordan Matthews, that connection seemed to be working again, and that's really his bread and butter. I mean, he's not stretching the field other than the game against Washington where the entire secondary was banged up. He was stretching it somewhat. He's not a field stretcher. He's throwing it to the running backs. They're running the ball well now. I mean, I'd like to see Matthews a little bit more involved, but at least they're getting him involved. And he's just running it for at least 6 yards a pop. I feel like every single time he touches the ball. So if they can run the ball, which they were not able to do at all at the beginning of the year, I think that they can look good. And this is a good matchup for that.
Yeah, and the Eagles, I love DeMarco Murray this week. I think Murray's a top five running back this week, and I think Ryan Matthews could even be used as well. Like I said, this Dolphins defense has been awful. Awful. Like that's the only way I could put it. And the thing that's hurting the Eagles offense the most is that Jordan Matthews is really all they have. Nelson Aguilar was supposed to be that outside receiver. And now, was he a healthy scratch last week? Is that what happened?
No, I don't know if he was healthy or not, but you're right that he didn't play. I mean, Aguilar's done. I mean, I dropped him. You know, I was someone I had high hopes for him somewhat. I mean, I thought that offense, I got suckered by the preseason, how good they looked during the preseason. And I was drafting him a lot, but I started cutting bait on him a while ago because I just don't like these guys who are playing a lot and doing absolutely nothing. In some ways, I'm more hopeful for someone like Devin Funchess, who they just refuse to play, but at least he's done something when he's been out there. Whereas Aguilar, I think he had one long catch in that Washington game, and that was it.
Yeah, I know. It's been a really disappointing year for him. And like I said, I don't know if he was healthy. I don't know if it was just they used an injury. But I think Mike Clay was talking about it, saying that he thought he was like a healthy scratch, which is just – it's concerning because Matthews, he's not an outside receiver that's going to take away everything, where it's like over the middle, everybody knows what's going on, what routes he's running. He's running the same route every time, seemingly. Fortunately, after the catch is where he did his damage last week.
Right.
And that's the second game against the Cowboys in which that he did very well. He scored twice this year, and both have been against the Cowboys. So we'll see if he can do the same against the Dolphins. It is a good matchup for him. I think he's back on the wide receiver two radar. Ryan Tannehill, he's been a really low ceiling type guy. He hasn't thrown many touchdowns. Philly's defense took a hit. You know, it was who was it? The linebacker tore his
Hicks.
Hicks. He tore his pectoral muscle, right?
Yeah, something like that. He was the one with the pick six, right?
Yeah, like it didn't look good when it happened. And I know people were thinking
Jordan Hicks, right? He's a rookie, I think. Maybe, I don't remember.
He was playing very, very well.
Yeah.
But it's a huge loss for them. But either way, in pass, they can be beat in the pass game. It's the question of whether or not that Ryan Tannehill can beat them. Do you think he can?
I mean, I don't like Tannehill. I've never liked Tannehill. Let me just say this. And I realize he's a better fantasy quarterback than he was kind of a real life quarterback. I mean, if they can get a lead, I think he could be okay. The thing is, I don't think Philadelphia's defense is that poor. They're put in a bad position because they're playing on the opposite, you know, playing with an offense that is going at 100 miles an hour and is going three and out like 75% of the time. So it's really hard. They're put in a tough position. So I think they play pretty well. So I don't expect big things from Tannehill, but you never know.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Tannehill was somebody I had higher hopes for this year with the weapons they went out and got him, the situation, the defense was going to be good. Like, I just felt like he was going to be in a good position, and nothing has worked out like it was supposed to in Miami. But the next game, things can change real quick in the NFL. There's been a lot of surprises. I mean, we know that Denver went into Indy last week and lost. I feel like this game here, the Saints at the Redskins, I feel like it could be a trap game. You know, like, not just that because the Saints, you know, they're a great team or anything, because they haven't been. You know, they looked great in a few games, and both those games were at home. Drew Brees is a different quarterback outside of a dome. He doesn't throw for nearly as many yards. His touchdown count is down, like, per game. I don't know. This is a game where I think people think it's going to be really high scoring, and I think it could be like a trap game. Like, what do you think? What are your thoughts in this game?
I mean, that's a possibility. I agree that a lot of what the Saints defense is getting torched, it has been at home. So there's some benefits to the opposing offense also playing in the dome. So that's a possibility. At the same time, I mean, if you're ever going to start Kirk Cousins, this is your week to probably do so, since everyone's kind of been hanging a couple of touchdowns at least against them. I mean, Mariota just threw for 350 yards and four touchdowns. I mean, I like Mariota, but he's not that great of a quarterback, obviously. So I think there's a chance for a big score, but you never know. I guess we'll see what the weather's like too.
Yeah. Do you think that DeSean Jackson is somebody that you'd feel comfortable? Like, I know he played like all the snaps, so that's always a good sign. Do you think he's someone that people could put him back into their lineup and feel good about it?
I don't think you feel good about it. It's weird. It's one of those situations where I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I feel like his numbers were decent with Cousins last year, but they just don't seem to really match up, because if you look at Cousins, I don't think he's thrown a touchdown of more than 7 yards or something like that this year. He's peppering guys like Jordan Reed and Jamison Crowder with targets, who play, you know, within and Garcon, who all play within, you know, 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. That long ball, I don't think that's really Cousins' game. So we'll have to see what ends up happening. I think the problem is there are a lot of different options in the passing game. Maybe if Reed wasn't there, I'd feel a little bit better about how those targets will get redistributed. But a lot of guys are going to be calling for the ball.
Yeah, I like Jordan Reed this week. I think Jordan Reed kind of has like a bounce back week. I know last week was a little down for him. It just wasn't the week that we all thought. Now Pierre Garçon, he didn't go over 65 yards in all of the games where Jackson played. And then when Jackson does play, he's had over 70 yards in both. So I don't know. Figure it out. But in the backfield there, Matt Jones, I don't think he's running away with the job like he should be. I mean, last week they gave him more of a shot against New England. I know it wasn't the greatest matchup. This week it is a good matchup, but the question is, will they be out of the game? Like Matt Jones, is he somebody that you'd contemplate starting over someone like CJ Anderson, for example?
No, I wouldn't contemplate starting over CJ. I mean, CJ Anderson, I think there was an issue with game script. He played okay. They just didn't run the ball much last week. They lost a possession because of the pick six. So I feel better about CJ Anderson. You know, I don't know why they weren't using Chris Thompson last week. I mean, maybe he's still down from the injury that he had, you know, 2 weeks before the bye, I guess. I think he had the injury. He missed a week. They had the bye. I was actually starting him in a few PPR leagues because I figured they'd be down a billion points and he would be catching the ball a lot, but they weren't using him. So I was really upset about that. That whole backfield, other than catching passes and someone like Chris Thompson, if they're willing to use him, I just don't see much value there because they can't run the ball at all.
And it's worrisome for if you're a Redskins like a fan or even like a Matt Jones dynasty owner, because he hasn't looked much better than Alfred Morris. Like, let's be honest, like he has looked better. Alfred Morris is pretty much like done. Like, do you think that Alfred Morris even gets a contract once he's done with Washington this year?
Yeah, you know, I think he'll get a contract. I mean, he still has pretty amazing totals for this point in his career. I don't think that he's necessarily just become a horrible rusher overnight. I mean, he can't play in the passing game, and I think that does become a liability, but he has to go to a team that's willing to just split up the backfield kind of Belichick style. I think he could still be valuable.
There you go. Belichick would be a fine fit, but LeGarrette Blunt's doing pretty good there himself.
But they let Blunt walk. They'll let him walk if somebody has a decent offer for him, and somebody probably will. Belichick is not paying anybody any money.
Outside of Tom Brady, I think.
Well, even Brady didn't take a pay cut. Well, he doesn't have to, but he's been willing. Yeah, quarterback's different. Belichick's smart. He knows running backs are like, get rid of this dude, bring in this other guy. We're going to put up points, and we're going to have opportunities no matter what. So I wouldn't be surprised if Blunt was gone next year because you figure he wants some money, right?
Yeah, you would think he's going to get paid. And honestly, I wouldn't blame him. Hopefully he gets a Super Bowl this year. I don't know if anybody can beat the Patriots this year. That's a game we're going to be coming up on here in just a second. But the next game is the Vikings and Adrian Peterson versus the Raiders. Now, the Raiders have been a tough matchup for running backs throughout the year. That was, you know, until last week when D'Angelo Williams decided to go off for almost 35 fantasy points against them. What happened to Oakland's run defense last week?
Yeah, I don't know. It was one of those situations where I didn't really get why they were such a good run defense. I mean, I think the thing is their offense has actually been playing pretty well. They've been putting up points. They've been putting pressure on the opposing offense. So other teams have felt like that they've had to pass somewhat. And I think that may be part of what's driven that. I feel fine about starting, you know, obviously you're starting Adrian Peterson. I feel okay about it. Hopefully it'll be a game where a lot of points are being scored. The Vikings defense is one of those defenses that has had good stats, but they've played against a lot of really bad teams. So we'll have to see what ends up happening this week, because Derek Carr and everyone on the offensive side is really firing in all cylinders, something that I did not expect at all coming into this season.
Yeah, no, it's weird because the Raiders offense, it's like them and the Jaguars. It's like, where did these offenses come from? I mean, even Cincinnati, I guess, to an extent, with Andy Dalton throwing the ball the way he is. But the Raiders
are like legitimately good. I mean, Bortles has put up stats, but he still throws. I mean, he still turns the ball over pretty a lot. I mean, Derek Carr has just been like really good. He's actually been like a quality, you know, top 10 real life NFL quarterback this year.
Yeah, well, that's pretty bold. Yeah, top 10. I mean, I didn't really put together my top 10 list, but he'd probably be right there thinking about it, I guess.
I mean, he's at least close if he's not.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's been playing very well. I mean, and it's funny because, like, Kevin, I want to get your take on this. I was talking with Mike Clay, and he was saying that he believes that Amari Cooper is the second best wide receiver in Oakland. I don't think I'm buying that. I don't know if I necessarily think that. I think, you know, obviously we can see what Crabtree is and like how Colin Kaepernick may have been holding him back in that offense. I mean, we see what Torrey Smith, he's going to fantasy wasteland. But do you think that Michael Crabtree is the best wide receiver in Oakland right now?
No, I don't. You know, I was going to respond to Mike about that, but I didn't want to, you know, I don't want to be that guy on Twitter who like only responds when he's disagreeing with you about something. But I think you have to look at it in that, I mean, defense has been focusing on Cooper. He's had shadow coverage from Verrett and Darrell Revis. I mean, he had shadow coverage from Jimmy Smith too, but we talked about earlier about that's kind of like a present more than a hindrance.
Yeah.
But the defense has been focusing on him. And if you look at their stats this year, I think Cooper has 80 more receiving yards and one less touchdown. So to say Crabtree is like definitively better is kind of a stretch. I mean, if Crabtree was going against Revis and Verrett and was kind of the focal point of the opposing team secondary, because Cooper just gets all this hype as being the rookie this year, then I think things could switch around quite a bit. I think it's probably close to being tit for tat. I would definitely not say that Crabtree is the better receiver, though.
Right, but it's a good. I mean, we're nitpicking here, but at the same time, the Raiders, I mean, with Latavius Murray, Derek Carr, and those two receivers, it's a great young nucleus, and the defense obviously has played better than expected. Charles Woodson, I mean, he's going to retire at some point, right? But the Vikings on that side of the ball, now Stephon Diggs, we knew last week wasn't a great matchup against St. Louis, but he should bounce back. I got him inside my top 15 wide receivers this week. Do you have any issue with that?
You know, my only issue is to see what happens with Teddy Bridgewater. I know that he was taking a nap there for a while last game and it didn't look good, but it almost seems like a done deal that he's going to get through the concussion protocol. But my concern with Diggs is not that he's not good, not that he won't see most of the targets, not that he's clearly the most efficient and best receiver on the team. It's that in certain circumstances, when they have a lead, when they feel like they don't need to push the ball down the field, they're going to be content to hand the ball off to Adrian Peterson and not throw the ball. So he could just get caught in one of those types of situations. And he's not necessarily a touchdown scorer. You know, he's not a big red zone type of guy. So getting touchdowns, he's going to have to get a touchdown on a longer play. And those just might not happen in certain situations.
And I agree. And that's the thing. Why I guess that we have to see where Bridgewater's at. Supposedly the Vikings are saying that he's going to play. So I guess we'll see where it goes with that. I mean, Bridgewater has played better as of late. He hasn't been like, I think their defense has been playing above where everybody thought they would be. And right. I think the running game is efficient enough to keep the defense off the field, keep them fresh. But I don't know. I don't buy the Vikings as a playoff team that's going to go anywhere. So I think eventually it turns around. And I think that despite what their defense has done, I think Oakland can expose them a little bit this weekend.
No, I definitely think so. I mean, they've had a pretty soft schedule up to this point.
Yeah, definitely have. Now, a team that doesn't have the softest game this week is the Chiefs. They're heading into Denver. Now, I know Denver is going to be without DeMarcus Ware. That's obviously a huge loss for that defense. But it's more to me about Charkandrick West. Now, Ware hasn't ever been really the run-stopping guy, so I don't think this really changes much there. But the only running backs that have ran for more than 42 yards on Denver was Jamaal Charles, it was Adrian Peterson, and then Frank Gore last week. Outside of them, every single running back has been held to less than 42 yards. I just don't think Charkandrick West is very playable this week unless you're looking, I mean, like a flex option. We talked about it, the fact that there's not very many running backs around right now that you can just trust. But I just don't think Charkandrick West is that RB2 that people think he is this week. I think he's more of like a low-end flex option. Now, what would you do if you came down to the choice where you had Charkandrick West and CJ Anderson, who are playing obviously head-to-head this match?
I don't know what the situation is with Hillman. I mean, he was awful last week, and I think he's going to play, right? I mean, I don't think there's anything going on with him. I'm not quite sure what his situation is, but I think I would still have to go for West. I mean, I'm a volume guy, in particular in PPR, I would still say I have to go for him. I mean, the Broncos look good against the Packers, and then they just reverted right back to not being able to do anything. But I do think CJ Anderson looks good. I mean, he looks like the CJ Anderson of last year. It's not a Eddie Lacy situation or some of these other guys we've seen that just look awful. I think the offense has just kind of fallen apart. So I would still put West over Anderson. And I know you say he's not an RB2, but I would probably put him in the discussion just because it's really tough to find 24 running backs that you like.
It's madness. Like when I was going through my rankings this week, I couldn't believe some of the names that I had to consider for RB2s. Like I really couldn't. But I just the matchup's really tough. I think if he doesn't score, I don't think that he's going to live up to that. And that's the part where I just don't know if it's going to happen. But I mean, like I said, it's very rare for that people would have options to play over him, I guess. So, I mean, right, I think someone that I would actually consider like in a PPR league, if you're looking at Riddick and Charcandrick West, I would probably play Riddick over him in a PPR this week. Standard, probably not. But right. in a PPR, I probably would.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I think that's probably – I would still lean towards West, but it's pretty close.
Yeah. But on the other side of the ball, Peyton Manning, I mean, I'm kind of done. I figured last week it would you know, because like when he came off the bye, he looked better. He didn't throw a touchdown. But then I watched a lot of that game against Indy, and I was like, you know, he's going back to Indy. He's comfortable with the like where he's at. He's in a dome, like everything lined up, and he didn't do it. Are you cutting bait with Peyton Manning, even though he's got a fantastic match this week?
Oh no, I would have cut bait with Manning a while back. I'm more concerned about what's going on with the wide receivers. I mean, Demaryius Thomas, just get in the end zone, for God's sake. I mean, he's never scoring at all. And then last week was one of those situations where Sanders, you know, the problem is it's becoming a Sanders or Thomas situation, where last year you could have just said Sanders and Thomas every single week. So there's a little bit more risk built into those guys because they're not scoring touchdowns. Or I mean, Sanders had that touchdown, but it was somewhat fluky. I mean, what was it, like a 70-yard score or something like that? So when you're not getting those easy touchdowns, it really makes it tough. I mean, obviously, you're probably starting both guys if you have them, but you're just not gonna necessarily dominate your opponent with both guys.
Right, and that's. I mean, I just feel like this week they both could be wide receiver ones just because the Chiefs secondary has been pretty bad and they stopped the run better than most people think, despite their tough schedule that they've had along the way. But moving on to the next game, just want to keep trucking along here. We're onto the Patriots at the Giants. Now, this most times I would not look into the whole revenge idea or, you know, like so much motivation behind that stuff. But the Patriots are a different animal. Like they really are. They hold that stuff like close to their chest and they want to play off emotion. And the Giants, they haven't played them since they lost 16 to their perfect season to them. Is that right?
No, they lost another Super Bowl to him after that.
Well, after the last Super Bowl, that's what I meant. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They haven't played since that time.
Right. They haven't played since that Super Bowl, but that wasn't the 16. That wasn't the 16-0 season. That was even before that.
Yeah, that was back a while ago. That's where I was going. But regardless, the Giants are a team. I mean, they're going to be at home, which helps the Giants in that fact, but. Do you really see the Giants having a shot in this game, or do you think that the Patriots, you know, they blow them out on New York's turf? Like, what do you think happens in this game? You're in New York. You know the Giants just as probably good as anybody. What do you think is going to happen in this game?
I think it could be close. I mean, it's all about getting pressure on Brady. That's the name of the game. That's how the Giants have been able to – I mean, that's how they're able to knock him off both times, is being able to get pressure with the front four, and then everything else kind of falls into place. And they're functional, definitely, on offense. I mean, I think Reuben Randle's playing a lot better this year. I mean, I know he hasn't been putting up gaudy stats, but he was getting tons of targets last year and doing absolutely nothing with them. So he's been playing better. Beckham looks like he's healthy. You know, they got nobody at tight end. But Eli looks okay. It's just going to be interesting. And I want to see what that Patriots offense is going to do without Deion Lewis there. I mean, normally I would say, whatever, he's gone, plug the new guy in. But Deion Lewis did really bring something special in his ability to avoid tackles. And I think in his ability to stress a defense, because you bring him out wide against a linebacker and bad things were going to happen. So they may lean on LeGarrette Blount a little bit. And James White, I'm not a believer in James White. I think he's going to be like Vereen, but worse. So I have trouble seeing what he's going to do this week. So I think it's a potential to be close. So we'll see, basically.
Now, do you think that the Patriots game plan to take away Odell Beckham, or do you think the reason I asked that, because Randle could have a bigger game if they do that. Like, what do you see happening here? Do you think that Belichick's going to game plan to try and do everything they can to contain Odell Beckham?
Yeah, I know that's a very popular thing for what the Patriots do, is kind of is focus on that number one guy. I mean, maybe, you know, what we've seen them doing this year is we saw them doing against the Jets where they doubled Marshall and then did a man coverage with, what's his
Decker.
Name?
Butler. Malcolm Butler.
On Malcolm Butler. So maybe they'll do that. Maybe they'll double him and then they'll put the Butler on Reuben Randall. But I feel like Beckham's one of those guys that can just get open. So I think he's still going to get his.
Yeah, if you leave Beckham in man coverage, it's probably the worst thing for your team. So
they move around a lot too. So I don't know what the Patriots. I don't know. It's much easier to get a guy where you know he's going to be on the outside and he's not going to be floating around all over the place.
Yeah, and I know you said that you didn't like James White, and not to say that I love James White. I think that he's the one that they try and fill that role with. I know a lot of people think it's Brandon Bolden because Bolden kind of took over last week when Lewis went down, but White was inactive. And I think that they're like, if we look back to the week where Deion Lewis was actually ruled inactive where it was planned, James right. White is actually the one that got the touches. So I think he's the one if you're aiming for any of those New England running backs outside of LeGarrette Blount. Mm-hmm. But it's more of a wait and see for me just to see how they use them and what they do.
No, I mean, I think he'll be the guy, but I just think the talent drop off is tremendous.
Yes. Yeah. No, I agree 100%. There's a reason that when Deion Lewis fumbles a few times that he can keep that job. Like, there's a reason because they knew what he brought to that offense. It was kind of like
so upset about the whole Deion Lewis. Well, I'm not so upset, but I mean, I literally picked him up in like 80%, 90% of my leagues, and I kind of saw this coming. You just knew this was going to happen. At least he signed a contract, so he's got some cash, I guess.
I'm happy for him on a personal level, but because you know the Patriots wouldn't have signed him otherwise. But on to the next game. This is another divisional showdown. This game is not as exciting for me as it may be for some. I guess I'm a bigger fan of like the high powered offenses that they go back and forth, like the Patriots and the Giants could do. But the Cardinals at the Seahawks, this game's back in Seattle. Seattle's returning home after losing their last game there. That's something that doesn't happen. And that's what makes me, I think, not like this game so much, is because I believe that the 12th man and all that stuff shows up this week. I think that they slow down the Cardinals' offense and they win. I think that Seattle wins this game. And you know that they're not going to do it with like booming offense. That's just not how Seattle wins games. I'm a little concerned about Carson Palmer in this game. I'm not going to lie. I know a lot of people are saying that he's still got a high floor and all that, but I don't know. I don't think I see him inside the top 12 quarterbacks this week. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think whenever you're going against the Seahawks in Seattle, I mean, it's tough. They're just awesome. I mean, I love Larry Fitzgerald, but I don't think that he can get open at will against these quarterbacks. And, you know, they have a good offense. If anything, they might be able to get a little something going in the ground game. I feel like teams have had a lot more success doing that in Seattle than they have passing the ball. And then on the flip side, they just look really bad. I think that they did this whole, trade away your Pro Bowl center, bring in Jimmy Graham. I mean, Marshawn Lynch just does not look good. I mean, I know he had that one good game against against the 49ers.
Yep.
But he looks like he's lost. I mean, he's kind of lost a little bit, and he's one of the. I mean, he's not. I was gonna say he looks a little bit like Trent Richardson, but I realize you can't say that about anybody. But he's one of those guys who's always broken tackles, so he's still breaking tackles, but he's just not getting enough yards on those broken tackles this year. He's not breaking anything.
Well, that's the thing, is like the offensive line has been a problem. I think that's part of the thing with Russell Wilson.
Rawls has looked good, though, when he's been in there.
Well, Rawls did, but I think it's a different dynamic. I think opponents, like, think about it. If you're game planning against a Seahawks team with Marshawn Lynch and then game planning for a game against them with Thomas Rawls, like, what do you game plan against? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Where I was looking through the grades that we've given the offensive line in Seattle, and they've actually had their two best grades over the last 3 weeks of the season. So I want to see what the bye week did. It's just like giving them time to gel more. It's frustrating about the Jimmy Graham thing. It was a bad trade. I think everybody knows that it was. But I want to give it this week. I actually think that Russell Wilson is a good contrarian play. In like even a cash game. I know he's very cheap in some DFS circles, especially Yahoo. I was going through and doing some my DFS article I do for Yahoo, and I like him there. He's become really cheap, and I just think that his rushing ability, it'll come back. Like, I don't think that he's as bad as he's played. I also don't think he's as good as he was last year. But like I said, this game, in Seattle, it's not a very exciting game. So I'm taking Seattle there, and I think that Russell Wilson kind of has a little bounce back game this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about that running ability. He really hasn't got it going at all. Where he was just, I mean, he was, you knew it was a regress somewhat from what he did last year, because he had really amazing rushing stats last year.
It was like almost 900 yards. I mean, it was like a good running back season, what he did last year. It was ridiculous. But moving on from that game is another one where I wish they could have like flexed out of this game. I don't know why they kept it on national television. It seems like national televised games are just bad this year. I don't know what's going on with them.
Can they flex out already this early, though? Maybe they can't even flex out until week 12 or something.
I think they can only do it one time or something like that.
It starts at a certain point, I know, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it's frustrating because we're going to have to watch the Houston Texans at the Cincinnati Bengals.
Hey, that could be two playoff teams.
That's insane. That isn't that insane.
That's just the truth, though. I mean, aren't you going to love to see Brian Hoyer handing off to
Alfred Blue or Chris Polk?
Yeah, Chris. Yeah, whoever. I mean, anybody else doesn't even matter.
You know what they can do? Hey,
like 5,000 targets. Hopefully,
they could go out and get Pierre Thomas again. He was released by the 49ers.
I mean, I don't. Okay, first of all, I'm not like Mr. Film guy. But I swear Pierre Thomas was always slow, right? He looks so slow. Like, I thought it was in slow motion when he was getting handed the ball and he was hitting the hole. That's why he got cut. When people watch that, you only had to watch that for a couple of seconds. You were like, okay, I mean, it could be one of those situations where he just needs to get his game speed back, but he never really had that much game speed to start off with.
Well, they went back to Sean Drone. Like, what does that say about you? Like, that's when it's like, okay, I think it's time to give up, I think that's the end, isn't it?
I guess. I mean, how much money do these guys end up getting where they go someplace for 1 week?
I don't know. Too much. We'll say that. But yeah. Alfred Blue is not somebody that you're going to be excited about playing against Cincinnati. Hopkins, you're going to play. On the other side, I think AJ Green is one of the finest buy lows in fantasy football. He was also in my fantasy stock market piece talking about his targets are up this year. His receptions per game are up. His yards per game are up. The only thing that's lacking is the touchdowns. And Tyler Eifert is going to regress a little bit. I know that everybody.
It's my boy, Tyler Eifert.
I know. I mean, if you have a lineup with Alshon Jeffrey and Tyler Eifert with you, I mean, it was all wrecked, though. Let's be honest. It was all wrecked at Bishop Sankey, right?
Yeah, that didn't help. Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, Alshon wasn't in for a while. And we were talking about DFS earlier. I only play Eifert when he does nothing, which is like the only times I paid, like that game that he had 0 points.
Uh-huh.
And then he does what he does last week. I mean, Eifert, it's weird to say this, but he's really unlocked that offense, in my opinion. I mean, from what they can do now with Dalton, I mean, Dalton's just confident because he doesn't have to just stare down AJ Green the entire time.
No, I agree. And like the thing is, they're using Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard back and forth. I haven't given up on Jeremy Hill yet. I don't think that he's washed up. I just feel like it's going to be a timeshare and that's what's going to happen. I don't think that we're going to get the wide receiver one performances that we thought we were going to get out of him. But I also don't think that he's just like, a pile of dust that's not going to do anything, that they're just going to leave sit there. But I mean, is there any parting thoughts, Kevin, you have before we get out of here and let everybody enjoy week 10?
Well, you know what? I've been going through waivers this week, and I think it's pretty interesting. You have kind of a handful of names that you could get for basically nothing that have kind of interested me this year. I mean, this week, we talked about, Drome, maybe he can do something. What's his name? Jordan Todman, behind D'Angelo. We'll see what ends up happening. I mean, there are a few guys out there. I kind of even like Tim Hightower, even though he got zero work last week if Mark Ingram goes down. So I don't know. There's a lot going on with the running back position. It's so wide open that I feel like if you go out there and you target backups to offenses that can actually score, that may be your best means to winning in the playoffs is if you just stockpile a bunch of those guys and hope one of them pays off.
Sean Drone, Tim Hightower, Pierre Thomas. Jordan Todman. Did we go back to like 2010?
yeah, I don't know if Todman was even good then.
No, probably not. But guys, we had a little blast with you guys today. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. If you have any questions in the meantime, head over to Twitter, Kevin is at Cole_Kev. Myself, I am at Mike Taglier NFL. Again, feel free to follow us, subscribe on iTunes at PFF Radio, listen on Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, and watch the show on YouTube and Fantasy Sports Network. That's going to wrap it up for us, guys. But good luck in your Week 10 matchups. Until next time.
PFF Radio is powered by Pro Football Focus. Follow PFF Radio on Twitter, at PFF Radio. Also follow us on Twitter, at PFF_Fantasy. Join the conversation and like us on Facebook, and plus one us on Google+.